two types of tanis. There's a tanis on something which is currently happening, and then there are tanios regarding the past. So, regarding tanios in general, the Rambam understands that it's part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of itkaten b'chetzol. The pasuk says, "Alatzara toreretem ariotem b'chetzol tru." When there's a distress approaching, could be an enemy, could be a war, etc. So the Rambam understands mitzvah asay min haTorah lis'ok ulariya b'chatzotrot al kol tzaros shetarvo alechem. This is the basic mitzvah. The mitzvah is al kol tzaros shetarvo alechem. The Rambam in Parakeh, we'll get back to both in a second. The Rambam in Parakeh defines that there are also tanios which are to remember things in the past. We'll speak about his language in a moment. Now the only question is, when one thinks about what happened on Asar B'Teve, a major question comes into the fold. What happened on Asar B'Teve? Anyone know? A siege. What was the siege? What is the siege? How many people were killed on Asar B'Teve? Huh? Probably none. Alright? How many people didn't have food to eat on Asar B'Teve? Probably none. People had...
All of us.
Huh?
All of us.
Oh, now us, we didn't have. That's the whole question. Asar B'Teve, offhand, nothing crazy happened. Why? Because the siege began. But a siege can begin and it can end the next day. Right? A siege in Israel is not such a big deal. Obviously, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to be surrounded. But what was the exact destruction on the surface? That's question number one. But when you add to it the comment of the Abu Dhron, so that's not even more difficult. Abu Dhron says that Lule Asar B'Teve were to fall out on Shabbos, you would fast on Asar B'Teve on Shabbos. Even though in general, for the other fast days, you don't do so. On Asar B'Teve, you would do so. Why? Because he says, like, even Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos, we don't fast. Which is a crazy thing. It's not for us now, but think about how Kedusha Shabbos pushes off the fast and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But it doesn't push off Asar B'Teve. Why not? So the Abu Dhron says it's based upon a pasuk. The pasuk regarding the siege of Yerushalayim says it's Be'etzem, regarding Asar B'Teve, the siege of Yerushalayim says Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, on this exact day. And that same exact lashon is used by Yom Kippur. This is because of that, therefore you would fast on Asar B'Teve on Shabbos. But what does that make? Asar B'Teve, if you take all the fast days that are commemorating the Churban, at first glance, Asar B'Teve is the least destruction was performed on that. Why would it be that we're so machmir for it? So question number one, why do we fast at all? Question number two, why are we machmir that exact day? Whenever it turns out, even on Shabbos is a day when we have the fast of Asar B'Teve. So first of all, any ideas? What do you guys think? Now, Stam, you should also know that Asar B'Teve, the Svarim, as well as that which we say, which we said this morning in Slicha, there are two other reasons for Asar B'Teve. What are the two other reasons? You can move in a little bit. What are the two other reasons for Asar B'Teve?
Ezra died
on Ches, and
the Torah was translated.
Is there any connection between all these different things? Is there any connection between them? Now, first of all, I don't want to get into it, but it could be that Ezra didn't really die on Ches. It could be that somebody else really died on Ches. It's a wild, wild, wild story. I'll have to see if I should tell you about it. But somebody died on Ches, who we make it be known that Ezra himself, right? Should I tell you? We'll see. I'm thinking about it. I can tell you guys.
I don't know what you're talking about exactly. You might have ever gave a hug.
Oh yeah, he gave a hug?
Yeah.
But so you didn't go to it? That's why you don't know
about it?
I didn't go to it. Oh, you did go. So what did he say?
And Shimon HaKalfis.
Oh. Listen to that hug.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
You didn't go. The kids are... the kids who there's good reason to assume that the it's how it's mashman Rashi and Avodah Zarah, that the person who died at Chel was none other than an undercover Tana. Well, let's give a quick history lesson. When the Jewish people, meaning Yeshu, came out of the Jewish people. Now, at one point, and you know this from the Gemara in Brachos in the fourth parak, right? At one point, it was unclear who was a believing Jew and who had, put over their allegiance, let's say, to the Minim, to the other side, and that's why the Bracha of Olam Hashinim was made. At the same time, at one point, there's a sefer called Toldos Yeshu. Now, in all honesty, it is questionable to what degree exactly it is historically accurate, but it's certainly fascinating. According to the story in Toldos Yeshu, basically the Rabbanim, the Tanoim, sent undercover, or were looking for someone, and Shimon HaKalfas ended up doing it, to go undercover and basically to start the Christian religion in order to separate it from Judaism. And in essence, what he was doing was Avodas HaKodesh, in order to remove all the people who are not really authentic Jews and were acting as authentic Ke'ilu, start another religion which they would become part of. And he did that either, he was the one who passed away on Ches Teves. And because he was the one who passed away on Ches Teves, and we couldn't say it openly who it was, meaning we were rooting for him. He was Ke'ilu, like one off the Derech, and was starting the Christian religion, etc. But in our mindset, he was a tzaddik, because he was separating the Christians from the Jews. The whole interesting thing, if you want to, there's a thing you get on YU Torah by Professor Schneier Lyman. Professor Schneier Lyman, Sid Lyman, is a fascinating individual. Anyone know where he is? He's a fascinating individual. He's on the one hand very from, on the other hand very knowledgeable in all these different things. And he brings the basic sources of this thing. It's a sure you can listen to. All the other people who know it, I'm sure, know it through him. He quoted him? Yeah. He found it, or he... but it's a fascinating type of thing. Ayin Shel. That's for Ches. But what's so important about Asar B'Tanis? So let's understand, firstly, regarding Tanis. If you look through the base of what a Tanis is, remember a little from Tzom Gedal, you guys, Asar B'Tanis takes on tremendous importance. Why? Because Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tanios has been describing the mitzvah of Tanis, which is, the Rambam says, the mitzvah of blowing the chatzotzot. You blew the chatzotzot when there was a war. You blew the chatzotzot when there was trouble. You also blew the chatzotzot when there were good things happening. But, says the Rambam, V'dover ze midarki atshuvahu, shebizman shetovu tzara, v'yizaku ala, v'yariu, yedu akol, shebiglau maseim aroim hurolahem. Why do we blow the chatzotzot? Chatzotzot are a wake-up call. It's midarki atshuvah. What is the midarki atshuvah? Why is this thing happening to you? Why do you think the enemy's approaching? So you could say, oh well, because they need money and therefore they're attacking us, or they think we stole them. No, that's not why it's happening. All these things, whether it be pestilence, whether it be an enemy, whatever it is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wake up. And the davar zeh midarkei atshuva. And says the Rambam, what happens if you don't notice this? Right? Aval im lo yizaku v'lo yadmiyum. Ela yomru davar zeh minhag ha'olam ira. If a person says, it's just, this is what happens. Once in a while, we get attacked, etc. You know, once in a while, you have this crazy leader of Iran who, you know, wants to blow the Jewish people up. It's mikra, you know, they're crazy over there. Harezu derech achzorius. This is a cruel way of looking at history. And this is what causes people to continue in their bad ways. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a message. Wake up and smell the coffee. Klomar, kisha'av yaleim tzara, kidei shetav shuvu, im tomer shikari, osif lahem chamas kosokeh. This is the mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah d'oraisa is to build a chatzotzos and wake up. Umidivrei sofrim lihis anos. Midivrei sofrim, seemingly here, midirabonon, is also to fast. And what is the fast day supposed to do? The fast day is supposed to put you in a proper mindset. It's supposed to enable you to give tzedakah, the amount of money you would have paid on food, you give to tzedakah, etc. And you wake up. That's the idea of midivrei sofrim. My friends, I'll pee this. What is Asara B'Teves all about?
The first sign of the
sin. Huh?
The first sign that they sinned against the siege.
Say better. Why is Asara B'Teves so important? Why is it that Asara B'Teves even if it falls out on Shabbos, huh?
Paradigm of a fast, because that's exactly what the like a boa that they were sieged.
Say better.
Easy to say it's not a big deal.
It's easy to say it's not a big deal, but now go, Mamish, go one step beyond. But even more. Why is Asara B'Teves so fundamental? So you guys are all on the right track, but say, go one step extra. If the Jews had woken up on Asara B'Teves, what would have been destroyed?
Nothing.
Had the Jews taken the siege and said, you want to know what? Nothing's destroyed yet. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending up a wake-up call. And it's the greatest wake-up call in the world. Because a person can have a wake-up call where they can have a near-miss accident. Great. A person can have a wake-up call where they have an accident where they only break their arm. Or you can have an accident where you break all the bones in your body, you know, and have to go through 10 years of, you know, therapy before you're normal. Right? Now, obviously, which message would we want? We want the near miss. We want that near miss. Oh, whoa. I'm driving too quickly. I gotta get myself together. Right? The whole siege of Yerushalayim was the greatest message in the world. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I'm telling you, I don't want to destroy Yerushalayim. I'm not having them go in right now. They're deciding to make a siege. And you want to know what? If you guys wake up, you'll beat this, and you won't even have to fix anything. Because everything will be intact. There will be no destruction whatsoever. And what happens? The Jewish people missed the moment. It's what Soloveitchik writes. He's not talking about this at all, but in Kol Dodito Fake, he speaks about missing the moment. When you have a moment, there he's speaking about in terms of Shira Shirin, where, you know, when the Dode was interested in the Raya wasn't interested. When the Raya was interested, the Dode was sleeping. All these messages, moments that if taken properly, if used, if woken up, if realizing that this is not Mikra, but this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us a message, none of the destruction of Kuvanetan. Asara B'Teves is the ultimate, like what you said, the Lashon is correct. What you said, the ultimate missing of a moment is when, because you missed the siege, all the destruction happened. And because of that, the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, when something like this happens, there's no way to wait. When there's a message coming, because what does a person do? A person goes, and when the message is easily attainable, so what does a person do? A person says, you want to know what? I'll take care of it later. Let me go and do all my battle stations now. Let me do all my battle stations. What do I need to do? I need to fight the war. I'll get to Tshuva, etc. And when a person misses that moment, you can't get it back. And the longer you wait, and because the Jewish people missed it, it was the beginning of the destruction. Look at the Rambam in Perek Hey. The Rambam says, Yesham yomim shekol yisrael mis'anim bahem, b'pnei atzoros she'iru bahem. Kedei la'orer halavavos, liftoach darkei atshuva. Right? We fast on these days in order to remember what happened, in order to awaken ourselves and to open up the paths of tshuva. But then he says, "V'yezeh zikaron l'maaseinu harayim u'maaseh avoseinu shayah k'maaseinu ata at shegaram lahem v'lanu osanatzaros." What are we recalling on these fast days? Not only what happened in the past. We're supposed to look in terms of us, where do we fall prey to these same sins that led about the destruction. We remember what happened to them, it's because we're supposed to remember what happened to us beforehand. Now my friends, if this is true, what are we supposed to recall on Aser B'Teves? On the one hand, we're supposed to recall the siege of Yerushalayim, the beginning of its destruction. But more importantly, possibly, what are we supposed to recall? The ultimate fasting. The ultimate lack, derech achzoris, of saying, this is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu involved. The reason why these things happen, wars happen, the Romans don't like us, the Babylonians don't like us, they're sieging Yerushalayim, fine. What was the message that was supposed to be inculcated? Shape up. If we don't shape up, so then destruction comes in its way. Now everyone in life, in their own special way, understands that there comes a time when there are certain things which are messages, which a person could go and say, these things happen. I was learning once with a guy in Eisha Torah. His parents sent him to Eisha Torah. His parents, I don't know if he, yeah, I don't think he went to Yeshiva, but his parents had started becoming frum and wanted him to give Judaism a chance. So I learned with him a little in Eisha Torah. But he was a guy who, he wasn't interested. But he we learned, that was the only thing he used to go to, our chavrusa, we used to learn like an hour chumash, and he told me he really wants to go onto the Temple Mount, onto Har Habayis. He knows Jews aren't supposed to go there, but he really wants to go. So whatever, he decided one day he was going to go. So he went, he found two Christian girls going up in a Christian tour, so he said he'd join them. He went to join them. And he got in there, got onto Temple Mount, his glasses fogged up, completely fogged up. But he couldn't see a thing without glasses. No, he could not see a thing. So these two Christian girls are like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, I can't see, couldn't clean the glasses, like, weird, right? So he told these girls, fine, at least take a picture. I brought my camera, take a picture of me on the Temple Mount. Camera didn't work. 5 minutes working on the camera, that's it. Camera didn't work. He gets out. This is this guy telling me himself. I'll tell you the rest of it. He gets out. It's that glass is all clear. Camera works perfectly. So he goes to me, funny thing that happened, right? I'm like, funny. It's like, I know what you're going to say. I didn't say a thing. Hey, you're going to say this is a message from God. He's like, why would you say such a thing? I'm saying, I didn't say that. You? Huh? I mean, why would you say it's a message from God? You know? Just because it's never happened before? And just because it's going on and on and on. So I said, take it for what you want. I didn't say a thing. Take it for what you want. You know, if you think what you think is a message from God is not a message from God, just because why? But easy to laugh at a guy like that, especially if you saw him. You know, he got extremely defensive without me saying a word. You know, for like 10 minutes. But we do the same thing. And part of Aser B'Teves, part of the Etzem Hayom Hazeh, is the realization and the wake up call that there's so many messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us. And we miss the moment, and sometimes we refuse to see the moment. We know certain things are right, but once we go on that path where we refuse to see what we know is true, So we put ourselves in a mindset where continually and continually we're going to have to deny, because otherwise, what, you know, after Shiva Sevetamos and after they broke into the walls, so what, we're going to wake up then? By that time we wake up already, so we say, well, why don't we wake up Aser B'Teved and none of the destruction had to happen? Aser B'Teved is the ultimate wake up day. Just one last little thing, and more time to speak about it at greater length, but there is a connection between all these different things. The breaking, the sieging of the walls of Yerushalayim, as well as the Torah in Greek, as well as everything, is Kedusha needs a seal. The walls of Yerushalayim, Pilamdut, are part of Kedusha's Yerushalayim. Sugin in Sanhedrin, Sugin Bav Metzia, about the walls. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim is connected to the walls. Where can you eat Kachim Kalim? Lifnim min Achoma. Within the Choma. And according to Rav Sal Beitrik, all the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is of Machanos, connected to the Kedusha of the Mikdash. Why? Because the Chom of Yerushalayim is an expression of that sometimes when Kedusha needs to be in private. Kedusha, in order for it to be real, is something which we have to be cognizant of the fact that Kedusha is deep and it's here. And therefore, we don't go and advertise it to the world. That's the basis of Kedusha. What happened? The Septuagint, right? The Targum HaShivim was basically taking the Torah and opening it up into the world, where that same Torah could be learned without any Kedusha, without any inner holiness. And then the Ezra HaSofer, Ezra, was bringing the Torah back to Yerushalayim, but at the same time bringing the Torah back to Eretz Yisrael. And Shimon HaKalfus was, in essence, separating those who on the outside were trying to act like they were real, and on the inside had a completely different belief system. So there's a general connection also from Aser B'Teved with the understanding of Kedusha requires a Choma. Part of the Choma is keeping inside the Kedusha. And therefore, in order for us to connect these two ideas of Aser B'Teved, the wake-up call. When does a person wake up? A person wakes up when he's built inside himself depth. And he's able to see things not only on the outside. On the outside it looks like someone's coming to attack us. On the inside it looks, there's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's wake up and smell the coffee. So if we build our Choma, and the Choma doesn't have to divorce us from the world. The Choma is just, you have to realize, to enter into the Choma, you have to realize there's something different there. There's Kedusha inside, you can't see it. You can't see it in the physical realm. You have to develop it, you have to connect to it, and then you know it's there. Yitzhak Hashem, my friends, we will take these messages of Aser B'Teved Be'etzmei Omazeh. We'll look into our lives when we have wake-up calls, and we'll wake up, we'll smell the coffee, we won't try to deny what we know is true, and we'll use that as a means of developing a Kedusha, which is so burning on the outside to come out, we'll need a Choma to keep it in. The Ezra session. Yes, sir. Thank you.